Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is brought to you by Gunn Street Wiring, a micro-instrument electronics company obsessed with overall quality. That's right, they're a new approach to the guitar wiring market. Because, of course, when it comes to music, there is endless variety. But when it comes to your instruments wiring, your manufacturer generally gives you one type. However, Gunn Street Wiring put forth a shiny alternative by creating a massive range of different wiring harnesses suitable for every single musical style. They have a beautiful website where you can navigate around selecting your instrument shape, then choosing between 50s modern and hybrid wiring harnesses, and within that, every single different type of harness you can possibly imagine. It's an affordable mod, and if you go with Gunn Street Wiring, it's a mod you simply won't regret. Check them out, gunstreetwiringshop.com.
It's Guitar Nerds Gear of the Year!
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Gear of the Year Awards 2018. I am your host, Mark Packham, joined today, this morning, by Matt Knight.
Hello.
Jay Cross.
Hello, that's my name.
And Joe Branton.
Hello.
We are here gathered once again in a yearly spectacle of gear where we pick through long negotiations, I would say, from a list of nominees, the top five bits of gear across that have been released this year.
How many times have we done this now? Is this the fifth time?
The first one's 2013, so yeah, this is the fifth one.
Wow.
Crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy.
And actually, the first time we've all sat in a room together
for about a year. So what we're going to do is 5 days, if you're new to the process, 5 days of deliberations where we pick different categories each day and we talk about the things that have been released this year. We work out what the top five things in that category are, and then the top two from each category then go through to the final, which will be released on Friday. So look, I'm just going to run down the categories quickly and the days in which we're doing them. So first up, episode one today, we're doing Best Guitar 2018. Tomorrow will be Best Stomp. This is a new category. Two new categories, in fact. Best Stomp Box and Best Multi-Effect 2018.
And I think it's important. We deliberated over the language of this a little bit. And I think it's important that people realise that Stomp Box sometimes has negative connotations to it, and same with multi-effects, but we're just trying to use, like, it's a broad church.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Stomp box is single effects.
Single effects,
multi-effects,
yeah,
is things that encompass, you know, amp modelling and different, you know, multiple effects.
Exactly,
sure. So Wednesday, we've got Best Amp and Best Other Thing. So that's our kind of, like, accessories slash we didn't know where to put this category. Thursday, we've got Best Bass Thing, Listener's Choice, and 2018 Best Product of 2017. Where we look back on last year's Gear of the Year and kind of give a verdict on how things have held up. And then big final on Friday. So, yeah, that's where the meat of the discussion actually happens.
Is that where we fall out and then we don't talk to each other, yeah, or sit in the same room for an entire year?
Yeah, that's why, yeah, the vibe gets so bad.
That's when it inevitably comes down to a Boss and a Fender product.
Sure.
And me and Mark have to choose who we like best out of, yeah, Matt and
actually,
Jay.
Actually, it usually comes Mummy down to me and Joe versus, or me and Mark versus Jay and Joe. Is that, yeah, the last, yeah, last couple of years?
No,
the two centre
ones. Very rarely are me and Joe. Yeah, rarely are Joe and I on the same
side. I think it's normally you and I versus Mark and Jay.
I mean, it wasn't last year because you were arguing for a bloody wristwatch metronome.
I'm still telling you that
I saw someone wearing one.
Yeah.
The other day.
Were they wearing them on their wrist or across their chest? Because you could wear it across your chest.
Oh, no, it was a wrist one.
This is another thing that I think we need to bring up, and I'm looking at you, Joe Branton. We can't go down the route of tactical voting because you did this last year. I can't remember what it was. I think it was in the effects section. You were like, right, the two things I want to go through are the Helix and the Canyon. And I know that everyone else is going to vote for the Helix, so I'm going to vote for the Canyon. And then nobody went for the Helix because we all preferred the Canyon, and then the Helix didn't get through. And that is your fault.
Yeah.
So I think we need to make sure that there's no tactical voting.
See, right. We talked about this earlier, and I think the tactical voting should stay because this isn't really a podcast about the best gear of 2018. This is the best. It's a podcast about us having an argument for over five days.
This is a podcast about whether or not I can get a metronome wristwatch
exactly
through to the final.
and not one of the best multi-effects pedals released in the last 10 years. Yeah. So that's very much the vibe. So we're kicking off today with best guitar category. What I'm going to do, I think the format for every day should be, I'm going to read everything that's in the list. I should preface this by saying, basically what we've done is gone through all of the press releases we've had, everything that's been submitted specifically for Gear of the Year. I went back through and looked at like Premier Guitar and Music Radar and looked at everything. And then I kind of picked the things I thought we could talk about. Obviously, this is not going to be every guitar release in 2018. That would be impossible.
There's also a lot of stuff that we just didn't like.
We also don't talk about stuff that we didn't like straight. That didn't even make this list. But it's also, things that we could not possibly talk about from manufacturers we've never heard of, obviously don't make the list. So if your favourite thing of the year isn't on the nominees list,
it's Mark's fault.
It's probably not that we think it's
Mark's fault.
It's probably not that we think it's bad. It probably is that we just had no chance to play it or had never heard of the manufacturer or anything like that. So with that cleared up, let's run down the list.
So what are we going to do? We're gonna cite all the things we've got here, and then we need to work out a top 10.
We do top 5 just in every category. Five. Top 5, and we kind of wheedle the list down from right. 10 to 5. So there is another note on this. You'll hear me read out series of guitars, and also you'll hear me read out multiple things from the same manufacturer. We do have a rule that you can... manufacturers can only have one product in each category, so we're going to have to kind of cut those off straight away. That's
this was something
number
that
one
we had wanted to try and do in advance, but Matt has been on a European tour for the last 4.5 years or so.
Boss Odyssey.
The Boss Odyssey.
We didn't get a chance to do that, so sorry, I spoke out of turn when I said we were going to do that, so we're just going to do it now.
The best guitar category, the nominees are the Guild Jetstar, the Fender American Original Series, the Ormsby Goliath GTR, the Supro David Bowie, the Fender Meteora, the Fender Player Series, the Fender American Performer Series, the Balaguer Espada, the Line 6 Shuriken SR250, the Gretsch Malcolm Young, the Fender Albert Hammond Jr., the Gibson 2019 Les Paul Double Cut Jr., PRS Silver Sky,
yes,
G&L Doheny, the Squire Contemporary Active Jazzmaster, the Cork KX500 MS, the Sterling Albert Lee, the Chapman ML3 Pro Traditional Semi-Hollow, the Schecter C1 SLS Elite, and the Charvel DK24. Aww. So, first things first, we should discuss, there's obviously a lot of Fender on that list. They basically discontinued...
It's almost like they're a guitar company.
Well, yes, sort of. But also, they seem to have discontinued everything that they make this year and have then replaced it with brand new models across the board. So that's why there's a lot of Fender. So what we need to do is firstly work out which Fender series we want in there, and then we need to kind of work that down to individual guitars. So out of the new American things, American Original, American Performer,
yeah,
which would do we think should be in there?
Well, I think the Performer's probably got, I mean, I really like the Original.
You bought an Original.
Yeah.
You've the got Original a 60 Strat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the Original is definitely, for me, is the best. I think as a product sort of moving forward, the Performer has it for being, one of the first times you can get affordable satin pastel coloured Strats and Tellys is amazing.
And also American made Jazzmasters,
yeah,
and you know, Mustangs and everything like that. Oh. And I don't really want to dote too much on this because obviously last week was a total.
We talked about Fender a lot, Fender
yeah, yeah. Fest. And the Performer series in general. I mean, it is difficult because there's so many new guitar series came out this year. The originals are fantastic. There's some great guitars in there. Mm. The Performers, I think, are a great series. There's also, you mentioned the Meteora, but actually, I think I'm
changing that to
Parallel Universe.
Parallel Universe.
See, the thing is, I got a Meteora, but actually, I think probably the best guitar in that series was the Troublemaker. The Troublemaker Tele was just... Yeah.
The Troublemaker was the Les Paul by Fender.
Yeah, what are you talking about? No, it's a 72-esque Telecaster with a mahogany body. And in Honeyburst or Ice Blue Metallic. What on earth are you talking about? Nothing to do with it.
But they're also, bear in mind, in that range as well, there was the Gretschy one, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, the Super Deluxe Telecaster, I think it was called. Which was
very nice. And the White Guard Strat.
Yep.
I think out of... I mean, the Meteora was the one that most appealed to me because it was a weird-looking telly, essentially. But I think the Troublemaker is one of the best guitars I played
this year. We need to cut deep, basically. Okay. So if... Are we saying Fender American Original Series does not make the cut?
It's
all about which, for me, it's about which series adds the most to guitars.
Well,
as
here we
a
are.
Whole,
and,
if, not
and
just
so,
Fender, but...
and so, should we cut to the chase? The Fender Player series is the most important thing Fender have ever done.
I want to do the American stuff first. So, should we cut American Original Series?
Sure.
Between American Original and American Performer, I think the originals are great, but the price difference between the original and the Performer, I think the Performers are super good value for money.
Yeah, fine. So I'm cutting that. Okay, so between Parallel Universe and American Performer series.
It's difficult, but I mean, if we were to go to one guitar, if we were to isolate one guitar, the highlight of each series, I would probably say the Troublemaker. Between the Troublemaker
It is out this year, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Everything from the
Parallel Universe was this year. The Troublemaker, I think, was the best guitar of that series.
The Meteor is more important, though, surely.
I think it's more divisive.
Yeah, which is, you know, an important issue in itself.
I would, for the moment, like to keep Parallel Universe on, because I actually don't like the Troublemaker, but I do like...
You don't like the Troublemaker?
No. I agree with you.
Yeah. I like the Meteor. The Troublemaker was fine, but
The Troublemaker was... Did you get a chance? Did you play one?
No, I didn't.
It's bonkers. The sustain that you get out of it. I tell you what, mahogany, great guitar.
Yeah,
great wood for guitars.
Humbuckers and mahogany.
really good. But like, it still sounds like a telly. You've got that clarity. Like, it's unmistakably a telly, but the sustain that you get out of it is absolutely fantastic.
I don't like wide range humbuckers, so.
I know what you're saying. And neither do I, but they weren't like the traditional wide range humbuckers that you get in like a 72 Tele.
Sure. Okay. Let's talk about American Performer. Let's talk about Player series
let's,
in that case.
Let's just get rid of the Albert Hammond because that's just a one-off.
Albert Hammond Jr.
I'm not sure that
gone.
Should really have been in there.
Gone. How are we doing this? Are we deleting from this spreadsheet or are we just marking them in red?
I think mark it in red so red. We've got it there still.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll forget what
was
there.
Fine. Okay, cool. So let's talk about Fender Players in that case. Is the Fender Player series more important this year than the American Performers and Parallel Universe?
Yes.
Yes.
I think it's really difficult to argue against that because this is something that we've been talking about for 5 years. People would come into, when we were all working at GAC, people would come into the shop and say, look, I want to buy a Fender Standard Telecaster or a Fender Standard Stratocaster, Mexican Standard, what would you recommend? And I would always go to the Squire Wall, pick up a Classic Vibe Tele or a Classic Vibe Strat and say, I think you should try this instead because it's cheaper and I think it's better.
Yeah.
But, and that's the problem is that that sort of mid price point for Fender stuff or entry level Fender stuff, mm-hmm. I don't think has been great for a long time. Like the guitars are... They were decent enough, and you got something that looked like a proper guitar, but the top-end Squire stuff was so good.
And that's it. That's what Fender were trading off of. It was like, at this point, they want Fender on the headstock, so here's a guitar with Fender on the headstock.
But I've been out of a store for quite a while, and I've done like quite a lot of store visits recently, and I was amazed, even like a couple months ago, I was like, man, there is nothing mid-range anymore. It's like... Squires are super expensive, I guess you'd say expensive, considering, you know, maybe what you would have thought like 5 or 6 years ago. And the Americans seem like way over, well, I say overpriced, but way over £1,000, which is yeah. where you always think them. So to have this at like £599 or £559, I think that's really nice.
I think the players are fantastic. It's such an upgrade over the standards.
From a store guy's point of view, and this is how I always tend to look at it, it's always good to then be able to mark out like a progression for a customer in terms of like, oh, you know, in terms of upselling, actually, really, and from a salesman point of view, being like, well, you can go for this, this is what you get for this, and this is what you get.
I think
this.
Also, you know, that gap for a long time was filled by Bar Harteli. You know, the amount of time we said that, but you know, let's be real, the Bar Harteli is too expensive for most people now. It's an expensive
guitar. 800, 700?
I think it's 799 or 849. You might want to just confirm. Just but when I say for most people,
680.
Oh, okay, so not as expensive as I.
What it's going for.
Okay,
I mean,
But
the thing is that everything's gone up.
Sure, you know, of course.
And without wanting to get into the economics of it all, the sort of volatility of the pound and the euro over the last year has just caused everything to shoot up in price.
Sure, but player comes in at a nice, you know, it's enough less money than the classic player stuff.
I think the player series is fantastic.
So are we saying
for me the player series also manages to straddle sort of modern and traditional enough? Like the Mexican standard never did. The Mexican standard was very modern.
Yes, definitely.
There's something for everyone in the player series, and I think it's the first time Fender have nailed that at this price point.
So are we saying now that I can get rid of everything else Fender on this list and leave the players?
I'm still tempted to argue on behalf of the Troublemaker, but I think that when you really like lay it down, the difference between the player Strat, and that's the one for me, is actually the Strat. I think the tellies I think are fine, I think are good, but the Mexican standard tellies, the old tellies, I thought were okay. The difference between the standard Strat and the player Strat is just astronomical.
Yeah,
2-point trim, proper pickups. I mean, and the thing that you've got to bear in mind is who's with the top end stuff. The big selling point with pickups is, well, they're designed by Tim Shaw, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how many people do you think are involved in pickup design? Like, I'm sure Tim Shaw didn't make these pickups by himself, but he still would have been involved in the design of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're getting...
They sound great. Yeah. The colour range is fantastic.
The buttercream.
Like the buttercream and the Sonic Red. I love the Sonic Red.
Are we saying then the official Fender entry for best guitar of the year is the Fender Player Strat?
I think so.
I shall update the spreadsheet. That was much easier than I thought it was going to be.
I mean, they're all, I mean, at the end of the day, and we always say this, is everything on it on the list is actually really good.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
And again, we as you say, we kind of picked through it. Whoa.
That was a nice noise.
Already.
I didn't.
Smash.
Coffee cup.
We've already kind of combed through it a little bit and picked the stuff that we like, so, you know. There's no losers here.
No,
apart
indeed.
From Joe.
Yeah, Joe, he's always the loser, so nothing changes.
What?
So, in that case, we haven't got any other doubles on that list, have we? So we're basically down to... I think with the Gibson 2019, we could have picked anything in the range, but I think we went for the Double Cut Junior because finally they've got a
Double Cut
Junior.
That's wonderful.
We'll talk about it in a bit, but I've got issues with the scratch plate.
Yeah,
but
Hold on, are we saying Squire is not part of...
Yeah, Squire's a different brand from Fender.
Squire, okay, fine.
Yeah, and in fact, there's no Epiphone on this list, but I can't think of anything they released this year. I went through the kind of press releases and stuff, and there was like a couple of artist bits, but... You know, I didn't think it was really worthy on the list.
There's nothing. I think, unfortunately, probably anything that Gibson or Epiphone have tried to do have just been overtaken by the controversy of what's actually going on.
The Slash Firebirds. They were interesting.
Oh, and then there was the Gibson the Slash Brazilian Dream.
Yeah.
Oh, which is,
I saw that.
That was 12 grand or something.
Yeah, and it was US only because it was Brazilian Rose.
Sure, that's why the Les Paul Junior Double Cut is on the list. Yeah. But, you know, last year we had the Epiphone SL Juniors, which were fantastic. But Epiphone SL, but they haven't really done anything this year.
I think that's one of the things is, you know, Fender gets criticised for just constant, you know, the series getting renamed and stuff. But the thing is it keeps it fresh. It keeps it in people's minds. Just redoing the Epiphone Les Paul standard. I mean, it just probably... I don't know. Maybe they've done it and it's just flown under the radar.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only thing I've got about, like, 2019, 20... I just wish they would call it I think that's where it's a smarter move from Fender to kind of reimagine the guitar, redesign it slightly, give it a new name and like a freshen up, where Gibson is like, just add another one.
Yeah. Just put another number on the
just
end.
Just put another number on the end. And it's just, it to me, it's like, really, they've just released, they're actually listening, which I think is the main thing. They're going, loads of people want that. But is it, are they, we just going to be here next year in 2020 going, it's the same guitar?
Yeah. I think that could definitely be the case, which is, again, why the Les Paul Double Cut Junior's on there. Something fresh, something new.
Yeah.
Should we go down the list and talk a little bit about the things that are on there? I think that's the best thing to do. So, Guild Jetstar, something that we saw at NAMM, I think it was you and I, Joe.
What a cool-looking guitar.
Totally.
I mean, massive, like, cool, oversized Firebird-esque headstock, a unique enough sort of vintage pawn shop style body, that sort of Italian feel, big, oversized scratch plate, those mini humbuckers that Guild do. I mean, I think it's a wonderful, like, return to form from Guild, who have been...
Good colours as well, like pastel blue and things like that.
Well, yeah, they also do, like, yeah, they do a pastel blue. It comes in white. It comes in black with a torque guard. So there's something for everyone. I think this is a really cool guitar. Great price. They're like £400-£500. I've got a lot of time for this guitar. Sort of, it's mahogany construction. Everything about it is cool.
Yeah, for me, on the other side, just to kind of add an argument for another guitar, if you said one thing there, which is that kind of like cool pawn shop vintage sort of thing. That's why I prefer the Supro.
The David Bowie Supro.
The dual tone David
Bowie. What an incredible looking guitar. Have you seen the case for it? The case is like a black and white sort of striped case and it just says Bowie in there.
It comes with like a certificate as well, I think.
Yeah.
They're a fair amount of money though, aren't they? I don't know if you've got that info there.
I don't think they were mega money. I think they were like under 1500.
Yeah, they're not too bad, but for something that, I mean...
Oh, no, 849.
Airline will literally do you the same guitar for £400. And I think when it comes to these sort of retro sort of budget guitars from the 60s and 70s, I'm not sure.
Sure.
I'm not sure that sort of construction plays a big part.
Well, that's the weird thing. It's like ultimately, at the end of the day, with either of these guitars, both great guitars, are they they're not really like breaking boundaries. They're just...
They're reissuing something. The thing that I like about the Bowie is, like, who would have thought there'd be a David Bowie signature guitar? And if you're, like, a massive Bowie fan and you want that, you know, similar to the... Because I think he played, like, an original. Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
And, you know, I think it's just a cool thing to be kind of out in the world. And same with the Jetstars. You know, Guild are a brand who seem to be kind of having a pretty decent resurgence. And do you know what I was most impressed with? Just the playability. When we went to see them at NAMM, the playability of the Jetstar was it was quite a bit better than I expected it to be.
Ultimately, that's the thing with all of these, like, retro themed guitars. If you play an original, most of them are crap.
We don't. Yeah.
So you can't really like reissue and go, yeah, we've made it play exactly the same as the original one. And you're like, I just won't bother playing it. Totally.
So I think for now, both of those need to stay on the list. I can't see a reason to get rid of them right at this moment.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Ormsby Goliath GTR. Joe,
we did talk about this last year.
But was there a new release?
Yeah, but I think what happened was it was right on the cusp. So the Ormsby Goliaths were really unfortunate in that they'd occurred so close to the end of last year that we put them in Gear of the Year. But then as soon as we started talking about them, we were like, well, none of us have seen them or played them.
Yes.
So we couldn't actually consider them. So it would be unfair to not put them in this year.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think, you know, just the brand as a whole, I think, kind of deserves it for the way that they're trying to move things
forward
as a modern manufacturer.
For me, for all of those kind of like headstockless guitars from the future kind of vibe, Ormsby are the one for me that personally I think looks the best. And that, you know, they're doing things with like the copper tops and all that that I think are, I don't know, set them apart. And also, I just think, yeah, the company seems cool. And
we've spoken about it before, the way they work in, the way they issue their guitars in runs.
Yeah.
So they can do short series and then take advice from players and retailers and adjust the instruments accordingly.
Similar to what Gun Street are doing with the wiring harnesses, they're taking that player feedback, which I think is great because it just means that you're constantly getting something that's really fresh.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think... the, you know, one brand that's obviously as well dominated that sort of visual style is Strandberg, and I think they're doing it quite a lot to set themselves apart from that brand and offer something. Because a lot of the thing with like Strandberg, for example, was that neck.
So yeah, they're offering the asymmetric sort of rectangle.
So they're offering something that is much more traditional in its playing feel, but offers something way more modern to the kind of metal guitar player.
Definitely.
I really think that Ormsby have done a lot to bring this style of guitar into the mainstream. You know, the quote-unquote mainstream. I think the fact that... and, you know, maybe it's because we're a little bit inward-facing and insular, but Perry is so involved in all the guitar Facebook communities. Yeah. You know, he's listening and he is getting people in touch with the brand, and that's what a lot of people want, you know.
Yeah.
For me, I think Strandberg always seems just a little bit distant and a little bit
I think they're getting better, but what I've found, and I mean we shouldn't talk about it too much because they're not on the list, but I'm tending to find that a lot of the players that I like that are using Strandberg, for example, sound very similar. They have a very similar tone. The lace pickups they use give a very specific sound, where the pickups that Ormsby design for their guitars lead people to be a little bit more creative and create their own thing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I really like. And again, just taking that sort of player feedback on board just means they're making a guitar that make people want to come back to the brand as well, because they're like, oh well, we've just changed it, we want to, you know,
definitely
want to get another one, you know.
We're talking about like these copper top style finishes on a headless instrument that's also multi-scale, that's mass produced, made out of Korea, that's £1,300 to buy. I don't think anyone's been doing that. No one's been able to bring this guitar to the masses for that sort of price point, other than Ormsby. And for that reason, this stays in the list for now.
100%. Let's talk about the Balaguer Espada. I assume that none of us have had a chance to try one, but I wanted to talk about it.
I've spent a lot of time on that website.
Yes, that's why I wanted to talk about it, because I personally don't think it can make it through this round, because none of us have had hands-on, but I just wanted to discuss the brand. And
I guess maybe it's very tricky, because they obviously you can build your own. So, I mean, we're sort of getting into that territory with the Ormsby stuff, but surely you can just go, we're only really talking about a body shape, because you can just do whatever you want online. Yeah,
sure.
It's a great shape, though.
It is a great shape.
It's a really cool shape.
I mean, I prefer that shape to, I mean, and it's not in the running anymore, but I prefer that shape to some of the, like the Meteora, for example.
It's just, what I like about it is this, you know, it's this kind of reimagining of the Jazzmaster and Jaguar into something that's not jangly.
I think it's very difficult to make a new guitar body shape.
Absolutely it is.
I think this is a gorgeous like halfway house in between modern and traditional.
Yep.
Managing to make something that the scratch plate makes it look retro, it has that sort of Albert Lee sort of feel to it, and then, you know, with an overall sort of traditional shape. I love it. I think it's a wonderful blend.
The other thing that I like about it is the headstock. You know, they've gone Fendery, but this is definitely their own spin on it. And
we've spoken about this type of headstock before.
That kind of two-layer recessed.
Well, but that's the thing. Even that you can, there's a couple of different headstock shapes that you can choose, if I remember correctly. I think
that's right. They do a 3x3 as well. Yeah,
right. Change the colors, can't you?
Yeah. And it's really cool. I think they're a really great company. I definitely think they're one to watch. But likewise, I'm not sure we can push this in the running for.
Yes, I agree. I think, are we all comfortable to take that off?
I don't actually think they have a dealer.
I
think that for me is the reason it can't really go through, is because you could argue about one specific spec and it's like, well, you can order your own thing. So.
100%. Line 6 Shuriken SR250 even.
So this is the short scale version of the standard Shuriken, right?
So basically, a kind of regular scale, because the Shuriken before was baritone scale.
Baritone scale, 27 inch scale, but it's tuned D to D, if I remember rightly. And I think that is ideally there to help tension in feel when you're using it. For example, like with Rebeer's using with like Frogleap, where they're basically programming a bunch of tunings and the Helix is doing everything. Whenever you do anything like that and you're modeling baritone or drop A or bass, the tension still feels like a normal guitar.
But you want the tension to be as tight as possible.
Yeah,
because
so,
as soon as a computer program is trying to interpret your note, the less variance, the less wobble you've got in it.
But I think that's the thing. Is a lot of people I've probably not got used to that 27-inch scale length and want something that feels like a normal guitar. And they're like, I only do down tuning occasionally. I'm actually trying to model a Tele or
a Strat. It's a very specific product, the Shuriken.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's nice to have the shorter scale version.
Absolutely.
But then again, it is, that's all it is.
Totally. And again, you know, I wanted to talk about it because it did come out this year, and you know, we've talked about how Line 6 are kind of doing more in the guitar world. But yeah, I think we talked about the Shuriken enough over the last probably couple of years in Gear of the Year.
And again, you know, the technology, there is nothing new in the technology front of it. It's the same thing that they've done with
on the existing. Exactly. Yeah. And for me, I'd still buy the Pacifica version over the Shuriken
Because it's it's more like a traditional guitar. Yeah, and I'm not a huge fan of the body sheep.
So I would be happy to cut it personally.
Yeah, we all happy with that. We think it's kind of too similar to something that we've talked about.
Yep. Before. Well, yeah, I find it difficult to suggest that that's why it should be cut when, you know, we're talking about Strats and Tellies again.
Sure,
you know?
I realise that. But I mean, more something that we talked about before.
But at least the player series has been reimagined the same way they were changing spec.
Totally.
You know, and also, you know, we've talked about the Shuriken before. It didn't go particularly far.
No.
Just making it a normal scale guitar hasn't solved the things that we didn't like about it in the past, i.e. the body shape.
I quite like the body shape. I think
it's just too metal for me. And you know, if that was in like butterscotch and you know had some like traditional
we
look.
We did
about
see
it.
Some other colours at NAMM actually. So they did look wicked.
I just got it here. So there's satin black, which is you know what you would expect. Pearl white, which I think is a problem that is still got that sort of like sparkly.
Yeah, it's
look
got
to
it's
it.
Kind of 80s vibe about it.
Outlier red, which is I assume
might be an album cover.
I assume the aesthetic.
It is, yeah, it is the artwork for
the artwork.
12-foot Ninja.
Metallic silver, which I don't think looks very good against the black hardware, and then charcoal burst, which looks like a PRS flame top.
Yeah,
and I think that
I'd rather go satin black. I think most people are going
to
go
satin
black.
These are so different to the sort of colours that we would traditionally like, which is, you know, pastels and sunbursts and stuff like that, that it's just not for us, I think.
Yeah, totally. Okay, the Gretsch Malcolm Young. Who wants to talk about it? It's a bit of a tribute to the man.
This guitar is wicked, and I think loads of people have been asking about it for a long time because I think, if I remember rightly, there was a custom shop version. This is the custom shop
one,
right?
Yeah, there have been in the past.
There's been Japanese versions.
Exactly
that's right,
yeah.
This is a Japanese version. Is it?
Okay. I was getting confused because the website says custom shop, and I was like, wait, this isn't a Stephen Stern master build.
No. In the past, there have been versions of this that have essentially just been, single pickup. Double cut Gretsch's, but this is actually more like his actual guitar.
Yeah, so it's got the DIY pickup routing. It's got the proper TV Jones in it. The former chambered mahogany body. You know, the bindings all aged. It's just like the closest thing you're going to get to the Malcolm Young, the actual one that he played. That he was always just at the back of the stage playing.
Yeah,
basically
keep holding it down.
Yeah, I mean, amazing player, great sound. Those guitars sound wicked. And I think if you want something a little bit different from the Gretsch range, and obviously if you're a massive AC/DC fan, of which there are a lot, because you've got to remember Back in Black is probably the biggest selling album by a band ever.
It's one of the biggest, one of the top five selling albums of all time, which is mad when you think about it, really.
So good though. I listened to it the other day. Like, I've got some really good headphones, and I just was like, I just want to listen to Back in Black really loud on these headphones, and it sounded absolutely incredible. It sounded so good.
I think this is just a nice tribute to
that
guitar, because again there's been versions of it that have been close but never,
they've just been
exact
single pickup double cuts basically and called the Malcolm Young, whereas this is actually based on the guitar. So
according to Wikipedia, it is the third biggest selling record of all time, behind Thriller and
Hotel California,
Greatest Hits.
Yes,
bonkers.
So I think that stays on the list for the moment, because I think we've got more to say about that
Down
the line, and probably not a quick cutter. Talking about cuts, let's talk about the Gibson 2019 Les Paul Double Cut Junior, one that Joe Branton has fallen in love with.
Oh, what an absolutely great guitar. Gibson finally bring us a Junior. Not only do they bring us a Junior, a Double Cut Junior, they make it super affordable. They really sit in great colours. And yes, Mark Packham, fine. They changed the scratch plate. They changed that scratch plate so that they could bring it to us at the price point that they have
totally.
By making it, you know, all the controls top.
So yeah, single route, and then everything's attached to the scratch plate.
Yeah, a single P90 double cut Les Paul Junior that you can get in a gorgeous like satin brown.
And it's the right shape as well, which is the problem. Has been the problem of the last few years is that the double cut juniors have been like a weird, almost symmetrical shape. Yeah.
They've just done something really weird to them, and I think no one can really point. I need to like overlay a picture.
They're kind of they're too symmetrical, and the horns are too
like curled
rounded.
In. Really weird.
But these are like proper. It's a proper double cut.
Yeah.
And here's the thing: how much are those retailing for?
$649, I believe.
What is Fender's tagline for the new American performers? It's, you know, it's that it's an American-made guitar for less than a grand. Gibson are like, we can do that all day long.
Sure, sure.
And actually, I mean, you know, looking at this reminds me of when I bought my SG, my faded SG, and I was like, still got the guitar, still absolutely love it. You know, amazing bit of kit. And it's just like, if anyone buys one of these now, I think... there's no reason why.
You could have it in 10 years.
You could have it in 10 years, and it'll probably play better and it'll look better.
It's such a workhorse, and they wear so well. There's sort of those like satin finishes on them.
Again, it's the necks, and you know, people are moving away from, and they have been for a long time, moving away from painted necks and going for something more satin. And it's just, I think it's a great guitar. It doesn't offer a lot, maybe, in terms of like versatility, but what it does offer is something that's a little
more
vibey. It's a
workhorse. It's functional.
I'm not sure.
It's a player's guitar.
Yeah, you can't. Have versatility act against a Les Paul Junior.
No, that's what I was saying. But that's what I mean. Yeah. It's like
unapologetically.
It's just a tool. It's an absolute sort of.
Well, you're buying it because you want a Les Paul Junior. You're not thinking, I want a guitar that can do Strat sounds and Tele sounds.
Yeah, exactly.
The only thing for me is there's no TV yellow. I don't understand why. I do not understand why.
So what have we got? We've got worn brown, worn red,
and let's not talk about the other colour.
Worn cherry and blue stain.
Yeah, let's not talk about blue stain.
The blue I don't think looks great. But I mean, the cherry and the brown look fantastic. The black looks good, but the cherry is just... Well, I mean, it's the same, it's basically the same as my junior special that I've got upstairs.
I think the only problem with the black one, the photo that I'm looking at, the fretboard is just too... light and
again,
it just,
though, like it's
it does just, vary, it but what is vary. It? It's not. Is it?
I think
rosewood?
It's rosewood. I think they're rosewood. Are they not?
Let's just confirm
on
that
sure
one.
They are.
I think it is rosewood. Yeah, so it's going to vary. But that was the only problem I've had with Gibsons in the past. Is a lot of the cheaper ones, the rosewood tends to not be. And I know it is more of a cosmetic thing.
But that comes down to the fact that they've obviously got all of this wood in the Nashville factory, and they've gone, okay, well, look, that's a really nice piece.
Yeah.
We'll go and put that on a $2,000 or a $3,000 standard. And like this one, you know, it's a bit lighter, whatever is going on. That's all part and parcel of the compromise that you make when you buy in a guitar for £600.
Yeah, I mean, that's
because
that's the thing. Because, you know, when I'm thinking about Music Man or talking about Ormsby, I know Ormsby's double the price, but there seems to be in a lot of these other guitars seems to be no compromise, and I guess that maybe that's why Fender have gone to Palfrey, because Palfrey cosmetically looks more similar. It seems to me much more consistent.
Yeah.
And I like that because it just means everyone you pick up is going to kind of feel. You know, and sometimes the Gibsons, you know, from working the store, it's like they just massively vary.
They do,
and that would be a shame.
And that was the case when they moved to, was it Richlight?
Yeah.
Richlight.
In like 2011 or 2012, and it was a big issue for a lot of people, a big issue. Yeah. And also when some of them, when they started coming through with baked maple, some people just were absolutely outraged. And I think Gibson kind of misjudged just how big of a deal it was going to be.
Amazing how desirable baked maple is now.
Yeah.
Roasted maple.
Totally.
Like, oh, it's awful. Yeah.
But that said, I'm not sure that they could get away with doing a roasted maple neck on a Les Paul.
Sure, it depends. It kind of depends on the guitar. Let's keep that on the list for now, and let's talk about the PRS Silver Sky.
Woo-hoo! And so, moving on to the G&L.
So, PRS Silver Sky, the collaboration between PRS Guitars and everyone's favourite blues Lothario, John Mayer. So, the Silver Sky, the background to this is basically he was in a deal with Fender.
In a relationship.
In a relationship with Fender. And yeah, like many of his relationships, he's moved on quickly to PRS. And basically taken all of his vintage Strats and kind of amalgamated the neck profile and some of the features and they've put it on a PRS guitar. I think one of the things I will say about this is surprisingly affordable when you consider, you know, a lot of the John Mayer kind of collaborative projects are very expensive. Looking at the PRS amp, I think, which is
six grand,
just for the head. I was amazed that these weren't $4,000.
Affordable.
They're still £2,000.
Is a relative term.
Soft
case. But then again,
I don't think it's affordable. I think it's less expensive than you would expect. I don't think it's affordable.
Joe, I know you say
I said it's more affordable than I expected.
Okay.
But then also Joe's arguing soft case. But then again, how many people buy a guitar and then also just put it in a gig bag? The case for me is not a...
Yeah,
and I've actually played one.
People who don't gig, I'm sure that's like an issue. But
I'd much rather have a soft case.
No, but if you gig properly, if you're touring rather than just popping down your pub,
but then
you're
not like, sure. How many guitars would you buy now, honestly speaking, that the case it comes with, you would then also take out on the road?
Yeah, that's very definitely not.
Yeah, fair.
And the thing that you've got to bear in mind is, so there was some research done. And Fender did some research and published the results, which was all part of the launch
study
of Fender
new,
Play and stuff like that. And it was something like only, I think it was 4% of guitar players have aspirations of playing live.
Geek.
Right.
Yeah.
And most people pick up guitar and want to play guitar for like self-actualization and stuff like that. You know, like bettering oneself.
Yeah.
So
through the means of reverb, delay.
Yeah. And the thing is you know, even with even with a hard case, like most people who are going to gigs, if you live in a big city, you're probably getting public transport.
Yeah,
you probably want soft case.
Okay. Do you know what? I don't actually have to pick the hard case to be the thing to have a go at about this guitar.
Do you know what? It's funny. Like the more because I've actually played one, and I actually thought it played and sounded really nice. And there's a couple of small things I liked on it, like actually just like the knob design.
The knob design just looks like the volume and tone words have rubbed off.
No, they actually do feel a little bit different. But the more I look at it, the more PRS I can see they've taken.
Yeah, totally.
I know this is going to sound weird, but it feels like a more polished Strat in a set, like physically more polished or like rubbed down, like someone's like made it super smooth.
I tell you what, it's like a polished something, mate. But,
that's kind of with every PRS though, you know, you look at the SC series versus a Les Paul, they've basically taken a Les Paul and shaped it a bit PRS, but everything feels a bit more complete.
The thing is with this
clinical.
I actually, like I said, I right away it sounded very much like you'd expect. They obviously have spent a lot of time tweaking it and making it sound exactly how he wants it. The problem is a lot of people are going to buy it because they're a fan of him.
Yeah.
And when you get it, you probably aren't going to sound like him. And I think there's a lot of other things that do a very,
you just
very
need a $6,000 amp to sound like
well,
him.
Exactly. I tell you, with all of this sort of subtle digs at it, I tell you what I do really like about it is the headstock.
Yeah.
I think the headstock,
the reverse PRS
headstock, I think it looks better like that than the right way round.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that looks better. And, you know, there's so many ways you can do a Fender-style guitar headstock badly.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a PRS. They were never going to deviate too much from the headstock. I think that looks better than the regular PRS headstock.
But also, it doesn't look too egregious. You know, let's say Gibson were doing a Strat. If they put the Gibson headstock on the top, you'd be like, this is weird.
I think
what they've done by flipping it around, you know, it's not just the standard PRS headstock. I think it totally works. I think this should stay on the list
as much as Joe
Branson is going to hate it. Just for two things.
This is Mark Packham trying to get under Joe's skin early. That's
100%.
This is
mind games.
All right, that's it. I'm going to find the worst thing on here and I'm going to use all
There's
of
nothing
my
bad on
voting
here.
Power.
There's nothing
to,
bad on here.
Not necessarily in this category, mate.
Let's leave the Silver Sky for now. Let's talk about the G&L Doheny, something we talked about fairly early in the year. I think it was a NAMM release. And what I like about this is they basically have kind of led the pack on this kind of price point and this style guitar.
They're coming back in a big way.
Yeah.
I think.
I
think, you know, they just sort of...
So the Doheny's a Jazzmaster.
Yeah, Jazzmaster with a Strat-style trem. So they're
Which is, of course, exactly what the new
Fender Performers... exactly. So I think these are super cool. You know, I probably none of us have had the chance to try one, but I did listen to a few demos, sounded great. And I think really the idea, you know, G&L have gone, well, people are getting into offsets, but... you know, at that kind of price point, there's not a huge amount about at the moment, or certainly when these were released.
It's very cool, and it's sort of also, and I mean, the brand I'm about to mention is really probably copying this more than anything. It's very Fret King.
Yes.
It feels very like Wilkinson Parts, and it's a great guitar for the money, but everything just feels like very off the shelf. Do you know what I mean? Like put it together. I really like it.
I think
the black one looks cool. Yeah. And actually, it's the best alternative to a Fender,
definitely.
I guess, if you want that sort of thing.
The one that I'm looking at here is Olympic White, although it looks, it's kind of like a, maybe it's just the picture, but it's kind of almost like a butterscotch.
Yeah.
It's halfway between a butterscotch and Olympic White.
Block inlays.
The headstock is, you know, a bit
that's
full on,
really
but
good.
That's the G&L headstock. I think this is great. And for 500 quid,
yeah.
I think that's
yeah.
a great guitar for definitely. The money. Definitely. Really great guitar for the money. I'm not sure that, it's difficult because you offer that up against the American Performer Jazzmaster.
Yeah.
It is twice the price, but I don't know.
But we don't even have to actually do that for what it's worth. Whilst I think this is a really good guitar, and whilst you could argue that the Strat Trem is obviously a great appointment, the Squire Vintage Modified Jazzmaster is an absolutely banging guitar for £350.
I think if you had them both side by side, though, and like, you know, I haven't played the G&L, not this particular model, but I've played the Tribute G&Ls, and they're very, very good. So I think if you put the two up together, I think you'd be surprised what a couple of extra £100 get you. So I think for now that needs to stay on the list. Because I think we can talk about it more up against some of the other things. Let's talk about Squire Jazzmasters. The Squire Contemporary Active Jazzmaster. Now, this one, I actually asked one of our friends at Fender which Squire he would want to submit. Because he's got a bit of a say in the Squire stuff.
You're not talking about me.
No, not you. Someone else who actually...
I know that we all know that.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, there's
so
a Squire...
Dan Grace.
It's Dan Grace.
Friend of the podcast and product manager for Squire and acoustic guitars at Fender Europe. He knows these guitars better than anybody else.
And I asked him, I said, you know, Squire have released a lot of stuff this year, namely the contemporaries. Which guitar would you like to submit for Gear of the Year? And he said the Squire Contemporary Active Jazzmaster. So what's the background on this, Jay?
So at the start of this year, so at NAMM, the Contemporary series was launched, and it was just Strats and Tellies. Some very cool appointments. So flatter radius on the board. I think it's 12-inch radius. Laurel fingerboard, which is the first time that's sort of becoming a bit more common. That was the transition that Squire used from Rosewood to Laurel rather than to Palfaro. And matching headstock, and these new SQR own brand active pickups
that sound great.
I mean, you know, as much as active pickups sound,
I thought this guitar was banging.
Oh no, they absolutely are.
I expected not to like it when it turned up, and I thought it was tons of fun, a great price, an awesome color,
surf pearl, right?
I did everything
the
about it was great.
So just moving back to the Strats and everything.
Sorry,
so
yeah.
No, it's fine. So that they launched, and there was a few. There was the HH, I think there was an HSS. There was also a model with a Floyd and a reverse headstock. You know, there were some really cool appointments there. They've all got matching headstocks, which is I just think makes everything look absolutely fantastic. Yeah. But yeah, basically. When these were announced, well, when I first found out about these, when Dan and I first found out about these, we also saw the Jazzmaster. But we, you know, the Jazzmaster was a few months down the line. We're just like, I can't wait for that to come out. The color is unbelievable. That surf pearl.
Yep.
It looks amazing. The guitars play fantastic, and I've been seeing a lot of these being used as kind of jump off points for people doing their own mods.
Yeah.
I think it's just a really, really great starting point for like, it's a great looking guitar that you can just do loads with. But as Joe says, the pickups sound great. I think this is a great guitar. I think this is a great guitar.
Totally. Yeah, I think, again, you know, with many of these guitars and a couple more that we're going to talk about shortly, they kind of straddle a nice line between like metal-y and, you know, it's active, essentially what are EMG kind of copies in there. But it's a Surf Pearl Jazzmaster. Yeah. It's not black with tribal flame on it.
Well, exactly. And I think that speaks to what modern aggressive music is nowadays. Yeah. You know, you think about I mentioned last week when I went to go and see Architects, like Adam from Architects is playing a Mayonnaise, but it's got, you know, basically looks like a Telecaster.
Yeah. It's a double humbucker Telecaster.
Yeah, exactly. But it's those kind of like traditional retro appointments on a modern guitar.
Yeah.
And this is basically Squire saying, okay, cool, like we see what everyone's doing, we'll just do that then.
Yeah, they're not.
And it's offering people who are into retro looking instruments the opportunity to use them for a heavier style
again
music.
And just Jim Root.
Yeah,
well, just exactly. Jim Root changed everything.
Exactly.
You know? And you know, personally, I think the reason that this one is the best of this bunch is that the Strats look a bit too kind of metal, you know, like the reverse headstock and all that. And I just think this looks like a cool retro guitar that someone's kind of metalled up.
Yeah,
I'm into it in a big way. Let's talk about the Sterling Albert Lee. So a very big, successful Ernie Ball Sterling guitars last year with the James Valentine. Mm-hmm. The Albert Lee was the latest guitar to get the Sterling treatment.
So we're talking about an Albert Lee that you can buy for £400.
Yeah.
It's available in like a Daphne Blue with a torque guard. The Albert Lee is already one of the coolest looking instruments ever, and it was always that tiny bit unobtainable because it was always £2,500. This is the coolest £400 you can spend at the moment.
They look fantastic.
They look outrageously good.
So the thing that the issue that I have had with Sterling stuff in the past is when you and I've realised that
it's not actually very good.
Well, so let me get there first.
Sorry.
Is the proper, quote unquote, proper Music Man stuff. So the Albert Lee, the James Valentine, the St. Vincent, the Cutlass. If you're spending £2,500, absolutely phenomenal guitars. Absolutely incredible. I think they'd give anything a run for its money. Then when you cut down to the Sterling stuff, they look great. And I think the potential's there. But the only one that's ever really grabbed me and forced me to say, this guitar is as good as is the Valentine.
Yeah.
And I think that the quality of the Valentine is a detriment to the Albert Lee and St. Vincent. Like last year, we talked about the fact that the St. Vincent Sterling just wasn't as good as the proper Music Man one.
Absolutely.
And I kind of feel the same about this Albert Lee.
My drummer's becoming like a tech on the road for bands. He does all the driving and all of that jazz, but he's been asked a guitar tech as well on top for a job. So he was like, can I borrow a guitar to like sort out, because I'm sort of learning some stuff.
And
so
you need to learn how to tune and like standard tuning and stuff like
well,
that.
Yeah. Things like that. But I gave him the Sterling St. Vincent that I have, and he messaged me a little bit later that day and was like, did you deliberately give me a guitar that was completely buggered? It was just as it was. But it was, you know,
These are sub, right? These are, because the James Valentine.
No, they're
Sterling,
not sub.
They're not sub.
The Sterling.
There is a sub, but we're talking about the Sterling.
There's not a sub Albert Lee, is there?
I believe.
Yeah, well, because this is where I'm getting confused, because I remember playing it at NAMM, the Sterling one, but I can't see any information apart from the ones listed as sub series.
Right. Or maybe there's been a
Sterling by Music Man sub. Oh, yeah, okay. Maybe. I didn't think they were sub.
Yeah, it is a sub.
Wow, okay. So
they're £400.
Right, so this is the guitar that we played. So, yeah, this is basically a step down from what the Sterling was last year.
I'm not sure that's the case. I can see where you're looking at a dealer's website for that, right?
No, I'm on the Music Man website.
Oh,
right,
I'm on
now.
The Music Man website.
If you scroll into the headstock, it says sub series underneath.
Oh, does it? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So if you go on to, if you search Sterling Albert Lee and you go to the Music Man website.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It sucks. Okay. So, and that's where I was just, because I remember seeing the black one and the Daphne blue one and being like, I think they did a Sterling one and then they've done a sub
the
one.
The sub is what's actually come out. Okay, fine. So, yeah, I mean, my personal feeling is that I think we've been spoiled by the Valentine.
Totally.
Yeah. But also, there's a price jump. You know, what are the Valentines? Like $899?
No, they were $699.
Yeah, I mean, it does make...
£200. Again, you just said it there. It's like 200. You'd be surprised how much difference 200 quid makes.
Oh, totally, totally. And it's just a shame because, I mean, I love the shape. I love the shape so much. And I think the head... I like the headstock. I think it's a great... It's a great guitar. It's just
the thing. Yeah, if I was gonna, if I was
quite
gonna have,
there, and I don't know why it's not quite there.
If I was gonna buy an Albert Lee right now, having owned an American Music Man, I'd much rather have an American one. Whereas if I wanted something that shape with two humbuckers, I'd probably buy the Squire.
Yeah, and
just
either
swap out the active pickups or just
like the Jazzmaster.
Yeah, the Jazzmaster we were just talking about.
Yeah, 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 totally.
You know, again, it offers that kind of, because you are seeing alternative and metal players using things like the Albert Lee.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Omar Rodriguez is playing a left-handed music Albert Lee.
And if you want something that looks super cool, you know, for £100 more, that Guild Jetstar.
Well, sure, very different guitar because it's not bolt-on and it's, you know, it's got those weird pickups in there. But you could also argue that, you know, for not a huge amount more, you could look at something like the G&L Doheny.
Yeah,
you know, which
has
got a retro vibe and, you know, personally I think is a better guitar.
But, you know, I've just suddenly realised how many guitars we're talking about that have that sort of body shape.
Yeah.
Have like a new retro.
I would say an offset style body shape rather than an S or a T or an LP style.
Are we
body
saying
shape?
That the Albert Lee is not going to make it through to the next part of the discussion?
I think
despite being a cool little guitar.
I think so. I mean, I know that obviously the Valentine won last year, but I think it's
very different. It's sub and Sterling.
Well, what I mean is just signature guitars, they just need to be, so good to be... to make it through to the later rounds, because most of the time they're so specific for an artist's
name. I mean, this is the thing. James Valentine is, like, as we've said before, is the ultimate in like non-specific sounding guitar. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit of everything.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely. So let's move on to the Chapman ML3 Pro Traditional Semi-Hollow. So this, I think, was a kind of not really a limited run, but they're only like doing it in one color.
It's a Guitar Center special, isn't
right,
it?
Right, okay. Oh, yeah, you're,
yeah,
exactly.
I think it started as, and I think maybe it still is for the time being, a Guitar Center exclusive.
On their site, it does say designed with Guitar Center.
Yeah, I think there was potentially also some... I don't know if there was some end user voting on this as well. Obviously, that's what they usually do with a lot of their things. I was trying to get onto the Guitar Center website from the UK, but you can't
from the UK
because of GDPR. But obviously, you can see everything on the Chapman Guitars website. I think it's a wicked guitar. I mean, I love the way they feel. I'm not a massive fan of the color, if I'm being perfectly honest.
I think the color is...
Yeah.
But then again, you know, I've got to be a baritone in the office, and it just plays incredible. It plays amazing. The quality, again, is incredible. If we're talking about the quality that you're getting on Ormsby, it's a similar sort of thing, that sort of Korean-built world music style.
Yep.
Just, you know, basically, it's not like a lot of factories where you go, cool, here's a guitar design, can you make it and stick what you've got on it? And then there's 50 other brands that are all doing the same thing. It's like they actually pay attention to what they're doing, and they're really checking it and really making amazing instruments. And you've also got things like brass saddles, which I think are amazing.
Definitely, definitely. And I think actually it comes back to what Jay was just saying, in that, yeah, build great, spec great. I haven't played one, but I've watched the demo videos, sound great. Matt, you know, we're quite familiar with how the Chapman stuff plays in general. But for me, if I saw this on the shelf, I have to say the colour would be an absolute deal breaker.
Yeah. For me, this is the problem.
This is the problem with letting the public be involved in the design process.
Well,
the thing is,
if you run down, and this is always the thing, like, especially with what me and Jay do, and you're looking at stuff that's coming out, and you look at, like, you compare what I always call, like, paper specs. You just look at it without looking at the actual guitar, and you read down, you're like, Hipshot locking gear tuners.
Yep, great.
You know, glow in the dark side dots.
Fantastic.
Roasted maple neck.
Oh, lovely.
Set through neck profile.
Ooh. Oh,
22 God. Fret. You know, yep. I mean, you don't need past 12, but whatever. you know, maple top. I mean, not to everyone's taste. P90s. Like, you're just like, this sounds like a wicked guitar. And then
you look at it.
I just like the color. I just think it's, for me, and again, I guess we're always on Gear That You're going to talk about how we feel about guitars from a personal point of view rather than...
Yeah, I mean, that's the caveat to all of this podcast is, you know, someone else might absolutely love that finish
totally.
And it's the greatest guitar they've ever seen.
If we played that specific one, we'd all be like, this is probably one of the best playing guitars this year.
Completely. And I think style of finish is just not... It's the same reason why we don't pay as much mind to PRS guitars as we should, because the finishes are just never what we want.
I mean, having said that, you know, when I saw this, the thing that actually came to mind was the PRS Zach Myers SE, which I actually really like. And it's, you know, it's going to kind of evoke a similar thing because, you know, it's got that F hole, it's got that kind of semi-hollow.
Yeah. I guess we should mention that there is, and I don't know whether I wasn't involved in the original email with whenever we're getting everything submitted, but there is also an ML3 Pro modern semi-hollow. So that we're talking about the traditional semi-hollow, which is the 2P91. And I'm just thinking, there is also the modern semi-hollow, which is
I would say surely we should be considering the traditional. For me, this is exactly what I want Chapman Guitars to do, to make something more traditional, to stop being so modern.
Again, we're talking about this modern, like pushing like modern bands forward. You look at the modern with the two humbuckers and it comes in this obsidian burst, and I'm like, that looks like a way better guitar straight. That looks like a custom guitar you would build on a guitar building website and go, that looks wicked.
Yeah, I think that looks better. For me personally, it still doesn't, just the look of it doesn't kind of click with what I'm after. Yeah,
I would have liked to seen some solid colours. I'm just putting it out there. I would have liked to seen...
But also, for some reason, I just don't like black sunburst flame maple tops. Like,
I just can't get on with flame.
I can't get on with flame stuff.
It's
just so showy offy.
The PRS Zach Myers, I really like.
But again, for me, it's too flashy.
Yeah, I guess
it doesn't matter what the brand is. Doesn't like there's a load of Fenders that are
flame that equals dentist.
And I just
that'd be a great t-shirt.
I just think that you look at, if you compare two Les Pauls, for example, and one's got a flame maple cap and one's got a plain top. I think the plain tops always look better.
Yeah, I agree. I guess the thing with flame is it's always just it's too personal and they vary so much as well. I mean, it's a great guitar. I think, personally, I prefer actually the modern with the two humbuckers, but I think the black
I agree with Matt. I think that the modern with the two humbuckers looks better than the...
we know that all the guys at Chapman, I still think the best guitar they make is that Beer Baritone.
The Beer, yeah, totally.
And that's almost what I'm thinking now. Is I'm like, I hate to say... I hate the colour in this, that, because it's a great guitar and they make obviously amazing guitars, but that Beer Baritone again is that guitar that straddles the line between modern, traditional, does a bit of everything, and it's a signature guitar that doesn't feel really specific.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not too flashy.
Yeah, exactly. But it came out last year and we've already talked about it.
And it did well last year. It was in the top five of guitars,
yeah,
I think.
I think so.
I've got one.
Maybe it was just outside the top five because it was a baritone, there wasn't enough kind of reach across everyone. But do you know what? I mean, the thing that this instantly reminded me of is that PRS Zach Myers, and I'm just comparing some photos now. They're both flame tops, but just even compared to the ML3 Pro Modern semi-hollow, the black one, I still, you know, if I had that kind of money and I was thinking, right, I want a rock guitar that's semi-hollow, I would probably default to the PRS because I think it just looks better. And I know that they're going to have, you know, similar build quality because they're built in, you know, in a similar way. Yes, I would personally think that although it's a cracking guitar, and the one they submitted is the Honeyburst one,
the traditional one. Yeah,
I personally think we can't put it through. How does everyone feel?
I think
it's the closest they've come to doing something that I like. But yes, I.
What, even over the baritone?
Well, no, that was cool. That was cool. I just, you know, I'm always going to want something traditional.
No, like, but I think they do some great stuff. Like the Ghost Frets, I think are cool. You know, it's their take on.
Well,
their take
about,
on a,
yeah, the
on
Ghost Fret did well, didn't it?
It did,
2 years ago.
Yeah,
but again, I think we've got to compare it to. We also have to dive into what else the brand offers, because ultimately you kind of want a guitar that's always pushing the brand forward as well. And I'm like,
I'm not sure that's necessarily true. I think if they'd done the traditional semi-hollow in a more traditional colour, even if it had been a tobacco sunburst rather than this honeyburst,
yeah,
I think that would have appealed to us a bit
more.
And it's just the flame is just, and I know that the flame is a feature that they have on a lot of their guitars. You know, that's one of the things that people really like about the Chapman stuff. I just think that to my mind, it kind of misses the point of what they're trying to do by making a T-style guitar.
Do you know what's, it's funny, is talking about flame tops, the next guitar on the list, looking at some photos, I'm like, that actually, to me, looks wicked.
I want to talk about this because this is one that was submitted, but unfortunately, I'm guessing none of us have had the time to try.
I actually really want to try one.
Me too. So the guitar that we're talking about is the Schecter C1 SLS Elite. And there's a few different options. The one I'm looking at is the Antique Fade Burst.
Yeah.
So I think this, you know, from the outset, this probably can't go through just because of timing. I don't think any of us had time to try it. But I wanted to bring it up because it looks absolutely incredible.
Dipped flame burst.
But yeah. I mean,
this is a cool
The way the specs
finish.
Go up as well, because I mean, you can obviously, they're one of the only guitar companies to offer like Sustainiac.
Yes.
As well, which is really nice. The C1 FRS, which is the Floyd Rose with the Sustainiac. But just the standard Elite gives you, I think, the Fishman pickups as standard.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's right.
So you've got, you know, what is effectively a £300 set of pickups in
Affluence.
There as well.
Yeah.
Affluence ones, which are great, you know, the real modern.
They're like the new standard, the new go-to for.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually really wanted this. I mean, they actually like a bunch of sets for a wide range of players, not just metal players, but I think it's one of those things that offers a great range of sounds being active, but without doing too much to your guitar sound. Do you know what I mean? Usually active pickups are very like, that's the sound of it.
Yeah, Fluence seem to have a bit more about them in terms of dynamics and stuff.
So just looking on here, it says that the, and this is, I apologise if this is a really dumb question, but the bridge pickup says that it's a ceramic magnet and the neck pickup says that it's an Alnico magnet.
Yep.
So what do EMGs have in them?
Oh, do you know what? I actually don't know.
Because I wonder if that's one of the reasons why you've got a bit more dynamics here, in that you've got the two different styles of...
Yeah, and don't forget, obviously, Fishman Fluence pickups are a magnet that are, they're stacked circuit boards, so they effectively can program the output of the pickup.
Right.
So that's why, like, some of the offers they make, take, for example, the ones they do with Devin Townsend in his signature Warwick, it goes between, like, a 59 Les Paul and then like a much more modern active Les Paul. And then you can also get like a Telly set. I think the Greg Cott ones do like a 50s Telly sound, like a Blackguard Telly, and then a more modern like 60s Telly, because you can basically like pro...
So what, a 50-year-old guitar instead of a 70-year-old guitar instead of an 80-year-old
guitar.
Exactly. Right, okay, nice and modern.
Sorry, just quickly, worth mentioning, 81s and 85s have the same setup. One is Alnico and one is...
Interesting.
But I think it's the way that those pickups are designed offer a lot more functionality. And again, this movement into something that's a little bit more modern for like a more modern player. Because I think guitar sounds have changed so much over the last like 2 or 3 years, and what players actually want from like a metal guitar. But then I think this probably offers you something that you don't want a Les Paul. You're probably not a metal player, but you want something that's relatively versatile. I reckon this is...
I think it's styling as well. You know, we've talked about it more and more over the years, but
Schecter,
you know,
is not... I would not... If I didn't see the headstock, I wouldn't have necessarily said that was...
No, totally, Schecter. Totally. And you think, you know, Schecter guitars probably 5 or 6 years ago, this would have had Tribal Flame all over it and be a Kerry King signature or something.
I'm not sure about that, because I think Schecter were one of the kind of front runners when it came to pushing the boundaries of what a metal guitar was, even 5-6 years ago.
But
you know, you look at stuff like the Omen series, like that. Yeah. It wasn't all super metal. It wasn't like gratuitously metal.
No, I think I'm being over. I'm over egging it when I say that it would have had Tribal Flame on it. But I always think that these guitars used to have a bit more. You know, they only used to come in black and flame red a lot of the time.
It's just crazy spec wise what you're getting.
Yeah,
on that,
absolutely. Through neck as well. We haven't mentioned that.
Through neck, which is a mixture of maple, walnut, and padauk multiply with carbon fiber truss rods. You're then 25.5-inch scale. Stainless steel frets, which is really nice, 12 to 16. So it's a real player's guitar in terms of radius. And in terms of neck profile, it's probably the only thing that's going to put us off as players. But a lot of people want that kind of thin, wizard-style neck.
Ebony board.
Ebony board as well, amazing.
Two-way
truss rod. You know, again, all the player specs that you'd want.
Just talking about the finish, I think that is awful.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
The black one or the antique T-burst?
I don't really like either of the fades, but I'm looking at the antique.
He's looking at the antique T-burst.
I'm looking at the antique fade.
I really like it.
And it's like, and you've got matching headstock as well, so that also has a fade on it. I can't really.
I'm into it. I think ultimately we can't put it through because none of us have actually been able to try it just because of timing and stuff.
I do like that it is Schecter doing something that still is very Schecter, but is not that. You know, as I say, it's not gratuitously metal.
Yeah, definitely.
Shall we talk about the winner of this year's...
Well, okay, so next up, then, the last guitar on the list we need to talk about is one that I think received overwhelmingly positive feedback from Guitar Nerds listeners, and we'll talk about that when we talk about the Listener's Choice Awards. And one that really surprised me, because I have actually played this guitar and I did like it, but I didn't think many people had, which is why I was surprised it did so well in the Listener's Choice poll. The Charvel DK24.
The Pro Mod.
DK24. So let's
Christmas
talk about
can't
these.
Come quick enough.
Let's talk about these a little bit. So Charvel... I think this was released at NAMM, right? I think
Summer
it's the first
NAMM,
time.
Yeah.
Summer NAMM.
Okay, fine.
SNAMM.
And instantly on our radar, because there is obviously like a shell pink.
Satin.
Sorry.
Shell.
Satin pink. Shell pink. This is basically a take on the Charvel tradition of Super Strat, Strat style bridge rather than a Floyd Rose, and HSS configuration. Also, what they're calling caramelized maple neck, I'm guessing is a similar process to the kind of roasting.
Lumen lace side dots.
Seymour
Duncan pickups. You've got a Seymour Duncan full shred humbucker in the bridge.
It's the ultimate for me. When I played it, I was like, I really hope this isn't just a shred guitar, because I'm not a shredder at all.
Yeah.
And it's just like the ultimate player's guitar. And like I said, when I played it, I was like,
This is a guitar for everyone.
It gives the Valentine a serious run for money. And that's basically the only guitar I've played for like 2 years.
The neck is incredible. The pickups are very versatile. They can do everything.
It doesn't sound like a rock guitar. It's like an overly rock guitar. It doesn't sound like a metal guitar. The pickup configurations are amazing.
And it's the right price.
Yeah, and the neck's not too thin. That's what we're just the same with the Schecter. Yeah. 12 to 16 compound radius fingerboard. And they haven't gone, well, let's stick a like super skinny neck on it. Let's put a super chunky neck on it. And it will just feel really... For me especially, it feels really comfortable. And like I said, it's the only guitar. I don't know. Like someone said to me, "Oh, you must have owned loads of guitars before." Someone I worked with, and I was like, "I've owned less. I've owned more pedals and amps than I've owned. I've owned more amps than I've probably owned guitars."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
I
tend to find a guitar and then just stick with it. And I haven't played anything that's really played better than the James Valentine. I played this and I was like, "Oh my god!" The neck just feels incredible. The sound's incredible. And do you know what? It's the first guitar I've played with a Trem that I'm like, I'd leave the Trem arm in and I'd actually use the Trem.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, because it's not a super sensitive,
Floyd or, exactly. Or it's not a vintage Trem that's like, if I move this, it's going to go
out of tune.
You know,
it really is an amazing guitar. As someone who isn't into shreddy stuff in the slightest, that's kind of what you would have expected this to be.
And
it just isn't. It's just a... Yes, phenomenal.
What blows my mind is there's two colours, right? And two colours you just wouldn't have thought would have been the first choice of colours that
it's
you would have
like
gone
we
for.
We picked them.
I mean, satin shell pink, and the other one is
primer grey.
Primer grey, which I'm not really into, but there's obviously been a huge run of guitars out there that have come in sort of those sort of colours or very plain colours. There's a lot of signature guitars from Ibanez that have come in those sort of, I guess maybe the Guthrie guitar kind of started that. Just yep. like, just like it's all about the way yeah. the guitar plays rather than the way it looks. I mean, and then they made it in pink, so they've just gone, well.
And I think this goes even further than what we were just talking about with the Schecter, in that this is kind of a heavy metal, like a, you know, what you would traditionally consider a heavy metal guitar, yeah. but for people who don't want it yeah. to be black and don't want it to scream,
well, I mean, this is the
bloody
thing.
Murder at you.
It's, it, you know, this is the ultimate 80s guitar that's yeah. in a modern, that's modern day, yeah. that's just like, for the player, it's like, I want something that plays and sounds like that. I'm not that kind of player necessarily, or I want something different that suits with the rest of the guitars I've got. Yeah.
And
they basically built a guitar for me, so thanks very much, Jay, if that was totally. All your suggestion.
And honestly, pink is just the best colour for guitar. Pink is just the best colour.
But
for
you
guitars.
Know, do you know what? I think I saw this on Facebook before I actually saw it at the Summer NAMM booth, because when I was at Summer NAMM and checked it out, it was like amazing. And I'm so glad it wasn't that really like weak shell pink. Do you remember Gibson did the 70s like...
Oh yeah, not good.
It was really... They tried to do something before like 7 or 8 years ago, and it's like just didn't... This actually looks like a proper shell pink. And yeah, it's just... The neck feels amazing. It's got, you know, the frets feel really nice. The pickups aren't too over the top. The actual way the pots feel really nice.
So when I
couldn't
first...
You couldn't expect a better guitar, I think, for the money. And I mean, what are they in UK stores? They
eight,
are
899.
Just I want to throw something in here because it came up in this discussion. Ibanez released very similar guitars.
The same
to this
guitar
this
for twice the price.
Well, I
want to
put it
finish.
On the list because I want to talk about it. So the AZ2402, which is the one that I picked up here, which retails in the UK. Let's have a quick look.
$1,499.
And people talked about this in the Facebook group about we should include these. And also as part of this launch, there was also the Tom Quayle signature as well. Yeah. You know,
that's what I was referring
AZ
to, this kind of this yeah. run of...
And we hadn't put them on the list because I think they'd kind of fallen off our radar a little bit because they were released at Winter NAMM, so quite a fair time ago. What I want to say is that they're a very similar guitar, but there is quite a price disparity between that and the Charvel. So I think if we're going to push something forward for this, the Charvel is going to be the guitar for the kind of like... super Strat style guitar
yeah,
that goes through. So I wanted to just give the Ibanez a quick shout out just so people didn't think that we'd... Well, I mean, we had basically forgotten them, but talking through this discussion made me think we should talk about them quickly. But I'm going to not include them in the ones that go through. So I think we talked about all the guitars that were nominated, either by people on the Facebook group or on... We had some, you know, just general feedback. And also, obviously, manufacturers and things that were released at NAMM. So we're down to a shorter list.
We've narrowed it down to ten.
So are we going to do quick fire cut, or are we all going to suggest one to put through? Or
I think we talk about each one and then we say, does this belong on this list? I think that's the only way to do it. I'm just going to shuffle them around in the spreadsheet to make this a little bit easier, and then we can go through them. Sorry, this is me just moving things around in the spreadsheet.
This is completely unnecessary.
No, I think it just makes things.
No, it's making
a
little
clearer.
Easier.
It makes things
people
really,
like me who
really
can't read.
Quality radio as well.
Great radio.
So we're down to 10, so we've got to find 5. I'm just actually
we're down
looking
to
at,
9. Actually,
oh,
I believe.
I'm just trying to think of my top 5. I've got a top 3.
Okay, you guys just formulate that while I just tidy this up a bit.
Have I got a top 3? There's a couple I would cut, personally. There's a couple I would keep.
Well, let's go through, and if we can get a consensus on things that we're going to cut, we should cut them. So, Guild Jetstar, does it make the top 5 this year?
No.
No.
It's an absolutely fantastic instrument for a wonderful price, and if you're looking for something pawn shoppy that's a little bit different... It's an absolute must. But I do agree that I think our top 5 should be things that are breaking the molds. This is just a really cool guitar.
Yeah. Not necessarily breaking the mold, I don't
think.
This
is something that Ryan from 60 Cycle Hum would play, and for that reason, I'm out.
As I said to you earlier, I'd much rather have the Suit Pro over the Guild.
So, I mean, let's take the Guild out of this then. What are we saying? Suit Pro David Bowie, does it make the top 5 guitars released this year?
For me, it does. I think. And even though, because it's limited, for me it does, because I'm looking at a couple other ones that I would rather cut. But then again, there's two signatures. Well, three signature guitars here, if you look at it.
Yeah.
One I'm sort of not counting as a signature, although it really is, I guess.
What, the Les Paul?
Yeah, the Les Paul. Even thought about it. Would I? I'm kind of debating if I was going to pick between the David Bowie and the Malcolm Young are the two that I'm sort of like.
Yeah.
Is it one or the other?
Is it okay? Let's do it another way then. Is there something on this list that we all feel doesn't belong on this list right now?
Oh yeah.
If you're going to pick one to knock off, Matt, what are you saying?
I do you know what? I'm tempted to say the double cut.
Ooh. What? No, I think you're
I
think you're bonkers.
Honestly, you take 2 weeks off the podcast and you come back with this absolute waffle.
What happened to you in Germany?
I don't know. No, it doesn't interest me. But then it's,
I think Matt's been replaced by a Warwick.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no Framus on this list.
Weird. Is it? Are we gonna say the same thing in 2020 and be like,
well, so basically,
yes, we are.
I think
it's a massive input. I think we surely are gonna lose the GNL Jazzmaster before anything else.
That's staying on the list for the moment.
It's a £500 Jazzmaster with a strap bridge.
Yeah, it's staying on the list for the moment. When you consider the new American equivalent is twice the price, I think.
Yeah, but then
let's go this the other way. Let's talk about what are our top threes. Let's run round.
What's a lock? That's what we need to shoot.
Oh, it's gotta be the
Gibson.
Charvel.
The Gibson's a lock.
For me, the three locks for me are the Player Strat.
Weird that.
The Charvel.
Weird that.
And the Les Paul.
I thought you were going to say the Malcolm
and
Young.
The Malcolm Young. Yeah, and also Joe? The squad.
I have exactly the same locks as Jay.
Oh,
the
okay.
The Player Strat, the double cut Les Paul. And
the funny thing for me is I'd have to pick the three guitars I would actually buy, and it would be the Charvel, the Squire, and the Silver Sky.
Right, I think
Matt, what is happening?
I think Charvel has to be a lock because that would have been one of mine as well. That needs to be.
Yeah,
we've all said
enough.
Definitely. I'm going to colour that in a light green.
I like that you inform our listeners of what you're doing on a spreadsheet, real time.
Paint a
we
picture.
Should, really, what we should have done here is
screen
we should,
capture.
We should have screen captured the whole thing and just put it all out as a video.
And then not actually put anything over the top, just screen capture, just some tones.
Joe
underneath.
Just writes things like box of dongs in like a weird cell, and it's just like really off-putting. I don't think we should capture that. So Charvel 24, DK24, we're saying is a lock for the top five.
Yeah.
Do we feel that in any way the David Bowie can be a lock for the top five?
I don't believe
you can lose it before you lose the Malcolm Young.
Yeah, I would play the Bowie over the Malcolm Young.
I think Malcolm Young's got to be the next one to go.
For me, those two are the next two.
Let's take Malcolm Young off for now. Let me do some magic.
He pushed the letter C instead of Control C.
I pressed the wrong one by accident. So, is there anything on here?
So we've got left the Charvel, the Squire, the GNL, the PRS, the Gibson, the Fender, and the Supro.
So we've got seven in total, including the Charvel. So we need to lose two things from this list. If you had to lose one of them, what would it be?
The PRS.
Oh,
I see an opportunity here,
maybe,
and I agree with Jay Cross.
Or maybe the Supro.
Okay,
the Supro and the PRS are the two now.
The PRS, absolutely. I see an opportunity here, and I'm going to roll with it.
I've changed my mind on tactical voting.
Right,
I would. Like,
you love it now.
I absolutely. I tell you what, Silver Sky, best guitar I've ever played.
Right. Oh, yes, Jay.
Right, Matt. If you were to lose one off this list, what would it be?
I would lose
you said the Gibson, but I think in reality...
No, I just looking at it, I would lose the GNL because I would rather have the Squire over the GNL.
I think that's a good shot. I've not tried the Doheny, so it's really difficult. I think they look
I've
great.
Tried a lot of GNL recently,
yeah.
And they're great guitars, but then, I don't know, I think the Squire caters for a better audience.
I agree.
If it was me, and I'm throwing this out there, I would lose the David Bowie because... I think that is quite a lot of money for what you're getting. As Joe pointed out, you know, there's also, you know, you can get great guitars from Airline, which do basically the same job. They don't have the Bowie factor, obviously, but they're doing basically the same job again, for a lot of money.
We need to cut two. I realise we're talking one at a time here, but is it easier for us just to cut two? Is it easier to cut the Supro and the GNL at the same time?
But that means the Silver Sky is still on this list.
I think the Silver Sky should be on the list as well.
If
for no other reason than to get Joe rolled up.
Do you know what? I would love Joe to actually meet John Mayer and then become the best of friends.
They absolutely would.
They've got so much in common.
Yeah, both weird sex perverts.
That's a bit harsh on John Mayer.
I mean, he's just sexy. If it was me, I'm throwing it out there, I would cut the David Bowie and I'd cut the Squire Contemporary Active Jazz.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
I would agree on the Supro, but I couldn't agree.
I think the GNL Jazzmaster's out for me.
Goodbye to Supro, I think. I think we can all agree that doesn't make the...
I mean, Mark's going to keep pushing for that GNL, but I think there's a three-on-one.
There's a three-on-one here, Mark.
I can't be beaten. The Doheny is going. I wanted to fight his corner because, you know, I think they were way earlier to the punch than Fender were with, you know, let's do a kind of mid-price Jazzmaster, vintage style.
By 6 months? But well, they both came out this year.
sure. No, because these were like in January, I think, and then the Fender one came out last week. Basically.
Well, yeah, but there is the Player Jazzmasters, which, you know, granted they're a slightly different spec. You know, they are it's humbuckers rather than
the Shonky Bridge, which is the thing I don't like about Jazzmasters, is that they've got the traditional bridge.
But then again, if you look at a lot of the criticism of the American Performer Jazzmaster, is people saying, where's the bridge gone? What's that trim?
We don't like the people. I hate the people. Yeah. I mean, I've got fully contempt of them. So, so that leaves us with five things. We have got the Charvel DK24. We've got the Fender Player Strat. Got the Gibson 2019 Les Paul Double Cut Junior. PRS Silver Sky and the Squire Contemporary Active Jazzmaster.
Well, I think one thing is for certain. We can all agree that the guitar that needs to go through top is the PRS
Silver Sky. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
This isn't right.
100%.
Is a clear winner for me, but I'm sure that's...
If you had to pick a number one right now...
This has been the most decided, I think, and the most clear-cut we've ever been on a guitar.
So this is basically, people aren't getting value for money on this because they want to see us mud wrestle, basically.
It's difficult. Like, obviously...
The mud wrestling is going to be for position five, I tell you.
I think that the DK24 has been... Nobody had any criticism for it.
I think DK,
but for me, personally, I think the Player Strat is the best guitar.
Okay, right. I'm throwing it out there now. What we're going to do is say our top three.
Okay,
and then anything that doesn't make anyone's top three
is out.
Goes into the fifth position.
Are we doing it in order of 1, 2, 3, or just
no? Just name like your three that you think should be at the top. Okay. J Cross,
Charvel, Fender, Gibson.
Exactly the same.
No, I'm going to say the Charvel.
Oh, why don't you just pick the flipping Supro David Bowie?
I'm going to say the Charvel, the Silver Sky, and the Squire.
Oh, Matt, that's like so out of whack. Basically makes it impossible because I'm going to basically pick the same three as you guys. I think DK24, Fender Player Strat, and the 2019 Les Paul Double Cut.
Okay, well, in that case, we then take the two that only got one vote each and... What do you prefer out of the Squire and the PRS?
So the Silver Sky and the Squire, we're saying a 4 and 5.
Okay. So we know what Joe thinks. So out of the three of us, what do you prefer?
I would have said Squire 5, PRS 4.
I think the same.
I would go the other way around.
And I would go the other way around. Dead luck.
We've got something to argue about.
In fact, actually, I'm looking at the list right now, and I would say that is the top five in that order.
So the order they're sitting in right now is DK24, Fender Player Strat, Gibson 2019 Les Paul Double Cut Junior, PRS Silver Sky, and Contemporary Active Jazzmaster.
But me and Jay disagree with that order of those last two. And I think
you agree, but you disagree with us.
Yeah,
agree with the order.
Oh yeah,
of the
we
last
agree
two.
With the Sorry. Order. Sorry, yes, yeah.
You two.
Oh no, we disagree with the last two.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that's what we need to work out, basically.
Yeah, fine. So
I want to hear your argument, Joe Branton, for why the Squire should be over the Silver Sky. Apart from you don't like John Mayer.
No, it's got nothing to do with nothing. nothing to do with John Mayer.
The
Squire.
Absolutely can do that.
The Squire Contemporary Active Jazzmaster offers something for everyone. It's at a right price point. It's an original colour. It's offering something different and unique to the market, as opposed to something that's very, very similar to a Fender Strat. Like it's $2,000 for the what's his name,
John Mayer.
Yeah, it's $2,000 for the John Mayer PRS, and for like £500 more than that, you could get a custom shop Fender Strat that does the same thing. You could
for £500 more, did you say?
Yeah.
Well, are they $2,799?
Something like that.
Oh, okay, yeah. Maybe. But then again, you are. That's
no,
the way.
No,
the
Mayers are like $2,199.
No, $2,299.
So okay. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So most.
So Joe's saying for an extra £500, you could get a custom shop.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean that's exactly. When you think about it in a percentage, they're actually you can get a Silver Sky right now for $2,099.
Yeah, and actually, I was thinking that really the way you've got to look at it is. It's a custom shop Fender built by PRS.
It's not a custom shop Fender. It's a factory made PRS for a massive chunk of money, and they've slapped John Mayer's name on it.
It's less than a normal PRS, though.
It's a flipping modular guitar. It's a bolt-on Strat.
No, it's not. Are they bolt-on?
They are bolt-on.
They are bolt-on, right, okay.
It's just a Strat with a rubbish headstock. Like, there's no... The thing
is... Oh, easy. The headstock's cool.
Taking sort of John Mayer out of this, if this guitar was just released like this, we wouldn't even be talking
about
it.
Well, I don't know. I think it's just a Strat by PRS. I would say, if you played both... Would you honestly say that the Squire played better than the PRS?
No, that's not how this works.
No. Because it's there are too many factors involved. Yeah. You're totally right. The John Mayer would play better than the Squire, but you could also buy.
We're looking at the Charvel versus the PRS, and I'd say the Charvel plays better than the PRS.
We're not looking at them versus each other. We're deciding which one was more important to this year's
releases. I think that's a really good
point.
Yeah,
and I think the PRS is probably more important.
I agree. And if that is something we take into account, I think...
Okay.
What makes it more important, though? The name attached to it or the instrument itself?
Massive impact, in terms of buzz.
We've argued this before. We argued this when the Ed Sheeran came out and when the Taylor Swift came out. The name... It can equally be as important.
You've got to think of what Ed Sheeran's done for, like, Loopers, for example. He's opened the musical doors to a lot of people.
Not even just that, just guitars in general.
Yeah.
And I know that people get bored of hearing us talk about this, but, like, Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift made guitar playing, albeit acoustic guitar playing, but guitar playing cool for a generation of people who didn't have a guitar hero.
Yeah, and exactly the same for John Mayer, I guess. You go to a John Mayer gig and it's not... It's like there's a specific audience at a Joe Bonamassa gig, I would say. Versus a John Mayer gig, which is a real mix of people.
I just think at the end of the day, PRS Silver Sky, when it came out, it was a big deal.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And, the guitar isn't particularly to my taste, but I can understand why they've done it. I can understand why people like it. With the Squire...
People like it because of the name. They don't like the guitar.
I don't think that's true.
I think if you took the name off and gave it to people, I think people would enjoy it.
I think people would still make the same jokes. They'd still be like, well, it's just PRS just making a Strat. What's the difference? But that's fine. I'm happy to sort of take a back seat on this because I've kind of,
Jay's won.
Jay's got a vested interest in the Squire.
It's not that I have a vested interest, but like there was some criticism levied last year at me.
I mean, three of these guitars in the top five
are FMIC products. So it's like, I'm happy to sort of take a back seat on this, and I can see both aspects. Me, I would buy the Squire. I wouldn't buy the John Mayer, but it's.
I'd buy both.
There we go.
I just think the Squire. Yes, it's a cool guitar. But effectively, it's just a Squire standard Jazzmaster that they've been doing for a while with some fresh pickups and a fresh colour.
But what is it that's good about the John Mayer?
I think that it's a very well-built guitar. I think the price is great considering what it could have been when you consider things like the Modern Eagle $7,000 or whatever.
There's a lot of R&D. I think, on one level, there's a lot more research. It's not like they've just gone, let's just copy a guitar you've already got. They've focused time on the way it sounds and the way it feels.
So we could equally swap this out then for the Schecter Nick Johnston.
I don't know what that is.
It's the Schecter Strat.
Yeah, which
got
we could
neck.
Have.
And
sure, but I mean the fact that none of us at the table know what that is.
Well,
says
I do,
to me
but we didn't come out this year.
Actually, they did release a new model for this year.
Yeah, but
But did it have the same impact as The Silver Sky? Absolutely not.
Are we talking about it? So are we now judging Gear of the Year based on marketing techniques?
No, not at all. It's
but we have often come down to that. It has often come down to that.
Yeah. And, you know, effectively, the Ed Sheeran is just one of those Martin mini guitars with his logo branded in it. But we all said the impact that this guitar had means that it deserves to be considered higher than it would be if it wasn't
one place.
Just,
at the end
I tell
of
you
the
what,
day,
this Schecter Nick Johnson is great.
Yeah, they're great guitars. Then again, I think if it was in the list, we'd still be going. It would probably be like that and the Charvel. And I'd be like, I'd still think the Charvel's the best guitar to come out this year.
How do we feel? Can you compromise, Joe? You've basically got the guitars that you wanted in this list, apart from the Silver Sky. But I think the argument is strong enough that the Squire, yes, fantastic, but it's still more of a kind of low-key release than the Silver Sky.
It's one position.
Yeah, I think we should, if we're happy with this five, I'm totally happy with this five.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah.
Joe Branton,
although I would still put forward an argument that the Player Strat should be above the DK.
I kind of see that.
Interesting that we never had the fight didn't occur with those top three at all.
Well, I think
that's what I'm trying to do now.
Yeah, no, but I think the Charvel is a more. Again, I think it's doing more for guitar.
I totally disagree.
Because
the Charvel, we're talking about a £900 Mexican-made guitar.
Yeah, sure. But, I mean, how much is a Player Strat?
500 quid, yeah, 550
fine,
quid.
Fine. You could pay 650 for an American-made Les Paul double cut.
Yeah, but absolutely. But we're not talking strictly about price here. Like, you were the one that brought price into it.
I think that
one of the things that should be taken into account is like the impact at the price point. You know, I think that the DK is a great, really great. I absolutely love it. I think it's fantastic. But what that Strat brings, and you know, I'm arguing here about Strat, which is something that I don't care about Strats. I like Tellys. But the impact that Strat has got, you know, you've got that 2-point trim on a guitar at that price point. You've got upgraded the pickups that they've upgraded to from the old ceramics. It sounds so
do you know
much
what?
Better.
I guess I would look at it if someone said I want to buy a cool guitar for under a grand.
DK24 mate in pink.
But someone likes they want a Strat style guitar and they want something that plays good. It's got good hardware. I'm like, you know what? All right,
but
you're talking to
Strat style guitar. It's a super Strat.
But you can tap the bridge one and have three single chords.
Yeah, you all know that doesn't work.
It does. It sounds great. It sounds good.
That's the difference between cool tapping and cool splitting. Well, and some pickups don't work.
This is the thing that you missed out on last week is the talk about, and we're not going to go into it now. But the double tap, the new pickups that are in the American Performers, is a mixture of tapping and splitting, and it's fantastic. But we're not talking about that.
I'm just literally, for these two, for me personally, it's the one that I preferred. And I have played both of these, and the DK24, I absolutely preferred it. I think it's just a better guitar.
I'm not gonna.
I think that's a great.
The Fender Player Strat has meant that people getting their first proper guitar now have the opportunity to get something that sounds great, feels great to play, and comes in fantastic colours.
And
for that reason, it's very important. But the DK24, we are guitar nerds, and this is an absolute nerd's guitar.
I think it's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. What I will say about the Fender Strat, my argument is that they are so much better than the old standards, Mexican standards.
It's just night and day.
So I think it totally deserves to be at number two, but personal preference, I just think it's so cool, DK24.
Does it actually replace them, the Mexican standards?
Yeah. Standards are disc on, and it's now the Player.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's fine. I'm not going to, you know, I respect democracy. Unlike some people. I'm gonna go with the group. It's fine.
So we are saying that the best guitars of 2018, at number five, we've got the Squire Contemporary Active Jazzmaster. Number four, the PRS Silver Sky. At three, the Gibson 2019 Les Paul Double Cut Junior. The two, the Fender Player Stratocaster, and at number one, the Charvel DK24. Who would have thought that?
I think
probably me.
I said it at the start.
I think literally everybody thought that it was going to be the DK.
Also, I'm just thinking, you know, a few days ahead, the final is going to get pretty tasty. With those two in there, plus all the other stuff that we're going to talk about this week, Friday's podcast is going to be pretty special, I think.
So the DK24 and the Fender Player Strat in the final.
Yeah, exactly that. Top two go through. They will be joining the winners of the best stomp box, best multi-effects, best amp, best bass thing, best other thing in the final. And we will see what wins on Friday. That was felt quite harmonious. I think we all...
It's early days.
We're not tired.
How far is this? An hour and a half in?
This is an hour and 35 minutes.
I haven't started drinking yet.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to break out the Bloody Mary soon.
Oh, blimey. Right, we'll see you tomorrow. We're going to tackle effects tomorrow. So we're doing best stomp box and best multi-effects. I think that is going to be well juicy. Spicy.
Spicy, like... And juicy, like...
Tasty.
And tasty, like Bloody Marys. I think you're really onto something here, Mark.
Let's get some Bloody Marys.
See you tomorrow.
Farewell.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.